Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hello, and welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show, in association with Paddy Power. The reason I'm talking like this is because my child is sleeping next door. But anyway, let's crack on. So coming up, Dundee killed Killy, Davidson's double delight, and Kelty Hearts are heading for the SPFL. I'm Andrew Slavin, and alongside me, for the final time this season, Motherwell senior producer Laura Brannan. Say hello, Laura.
Hello.
Excellent work. And TIFO tactician JJ Bull, who's also... Do you need to be quiet?
Hell no, bitch! What's
Excellent.
Up?
I know.
1-0 JJ. 1-0 JJ. Look, we start with a few managers at Scottish football clubs that have clearly heard that we're recording our last podcast of the season, which is Monday night. Tons of announcements that everyone's off. Everyone's leaving. What's going on? Should we start with Yogi, Mickey, Barry? These all sound like Disney characters apart from Barry. But where do we start? I mean, mental, right? I mean, let's not to mention the likes of Jim Duffy leaving Dumbarton, that other guy at Queen's Park. You don't want to pick up on that?
I've heard that Barry Robson and Paul Sheeran might be leaving Aberdeen for new jobs. Don't know where, but I've heard that.
Yeah. You don't know where you've heard it?
I know where I've heard it, but you're not supposed to reveal your sources.
I mean, this is just going to get the rumours into overdrive, isn't it? Fans of these clubs are now going to be looking at every other manager that has now left their job, saying, oh, is he coming to us? Is this just going to be a complete reshuffle? Because it's entered silly season already, and it happened with a bang today. It just seemed to all happen within an hour of each other. And now we're into all the speculation, and then you've got the managers that are already not out of contract, but you know what I mean, not in a job right now, like Derek McInnes, mm-hmm. Stephen Robinson, Alex Neil. Yeah. And that adds to the rumours even more, because not only now are there big managers like John Hughes and Barry Ferguson's now, like, obviously classed as a very successful manager after what's just happened. So there's a lot of names going around, and clubs are now going to be getting a wee bit, well, fans are going to be getting a wee bit more excited now.
Yeah, good point. I forgot about Barry Ferguson. Another celebration slide to rival Callum Davidson. But yeah, just absolutely crazy day in Scottish football for managers leaving. In terms of incomings, news for Aberdeen fans, JJ, maybe you can tell us a bit about Jet.
J. Emmanuel Thomas. Yes.
Yeah. Will he be more like Top Gun or Airplane, the movie?
Oh, I see. yes.
Thanks very much.
He'll be like a super action movie where he comes in and, I don't know, destroys all the defences in his way on his path to re-winning the heart and soul of his loved wife, who's...
Have I kind of knocked you off the wrong path a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, Aberdeen has signed J. Emmanuel Thomas, and he came up and took some pictures. And Aberdeen looks very happy. And Bruce Anderson's going the other way. Probably a good move.
Or to Livingston.
Bruce. Yeah, he's going to Livingston, as you say. Also signed Declan Gallagher, as we talked about before. Scott Brown, no, about this stuff. We've been going on about this for a little while. And then lots of noise about Lewis Ferguson might be leaving because Watford want to buy him, and they have offered like a couple of bags of footballs and a high five for him. The equivalent of what they've earned has been getting promoted to the Premier League in England. I think it's 1.5 million I've read. 1.5 or 2 million they've offered Lewis Ferguson. They've also been rumoured to have offered 4 million for Josh Doig. And I don't know how those two valuations go. So yeah, obviously, Aberdeen told them to get lost, come back with more money. You hope about 4 or 5 million or something.
But hasn't Ferguson handed in a transfer request?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. All it means, I think, is all that means is that you don't get your loyalty bonus and your contract, which everyone gets. Well, yeah. There's no transfer list. This is not a thing that exists in real life.
I have always enjoyed that even the phrase transfer request. Yeah. It just sounds so like kind of cordial, and it's
that's like
not
going
really.
To your, like, you go to your actual boss at work. Yeah, you go to your boss at work and say, "I'd really like a new job at this cool new place that's opened." And then they're going to go, okay, you get a month's notice. Have they offered you a job? No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you put your CV in? Yes. Have you had an interview yet? Then why are you
talking about this? What's the grace period? Yeah. Let's talk about the Scotland squad then as well. There's so much happening this summer. It's so exciting. Laura, are you happy with the squad list that's came out? Gilmore, I'm happy about. Turnbull too. But you mentioned the hype train on Ryan Gold. The hype train is still in its station. It's not mobile.
Yeah, I didn't think there were any real surprises with the Scotland squad. As much as Ryan Gold's been talked up so much by a lot of fans recently, I didn't think he was going to make it. My prediction was right, not to gloat or anything. No, I'm really pleased with Gilmore and Turnbull, though. I think they're very good additions. Patterson as well. I was slightly surprised at Patterson because of just how few games he's played. But the boy's got talent, so he must have impressed that much. And I think also the fact that there's less competition for his position as well has went in his favour. Slightly disappointed that Lee Griffiths hasn't made it, more so just for the impact kind of super sub element of it. There was no way he was going to play all three games or start any of the games, but to know you've got a player like Griffiths on the bench if you're maybe like 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, it's just, you know exactly what to get from him. He's just such a natural goal scorer. That it's disappointing. I don't think the strikers we've got in the squad quite have the same impact that he could have. But apart from that, really no real surprises.
Also, no Andy Considine, so no Baccarat. Come on now. To get a new song.
Yeah, but he's left that legendary mark on the team. He doesn't have to be there for it. It's like having a statue outside. It's just, you'll always be there in your presence.
That's true. Okay, I'm happy now. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it. So St Johnstone, they've won another cup. We're going to be picking up on that as well as our Premiership team of the season. But first, as I've mentioned already, we're recording this right after the relegation promotion playoff. So let's start with that.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show, sponsored by Paddy Power.
Straight into the mix again, he does just that. And Dundee have a second, and it's Lee Ashcroft who scores against his former club. Wow, they're in a rush here. In a rush to reach the Premiership.
Dundee become just the third Championship team to win the relegation promotion playoff. They cruised past Kilmarnock 4-2 in aggregate. They won the first leg 2-1 and they won the second leg 2-1. It was comfortable. Two goals in the first 12 minutes. It seemed to, if Kilmarnock were going to get anything out of this game, they needed to start the better team. They didn't. It seemed to just knock the stuffing out of Kilmarnock because afterwards they didn't show any fight at all, JJ, from what I saw.
This is absolute garbage. Some of the worst football. They had no ideas other than pumping
from,
it up.
From Kilmarnock, some of the worst football, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Dundee started, so I quite like what James McPake was saying before the game, very confident, saying how they're not going to just sit back and defend all game, which I think is the right way to play. You're basically defending by attacking, trying to take the game higher up the pitch. Keep it away from your own box. That's what to do. And the thing is, they only have about two shots all game, or something, three shots. I don't have their stats in front of me, but they got those couple of breakaways. The goal they scored was a punt, a wild punt up the pitch, and they just managed to get down.
From a terrible throw-in, though.
Yeah.
The throw-in just went straight to Charlie Adam. There wasn't a Kilmarnock player in sight. Ross Millen, I think it was. I really struggled in this game because there was a Millen, a Mullen, and a McMullen. So I was like, I even tweeted it and tweeted it wrong. But yeah, Ross Millen, awful throw-in, and Charlie Adam just pumps it up the field. And Kilmarnock just, there's like, it just felt like there was no belief, Laura, in this team.
Yeah, to not take anything away from Dundee because they were outstanding. Kelly, their defence was such a letdown for them. They looked like wet paper. When you look at the back lineup, they don't have good enough players. You pick them apart, you go, well, maybe one of them would be good enough. If the other ones are actually a lot stronger, a lot better, they could rescue them, so to speak. They could make them look better than they are. But when you've got lower standard of players all playing alongside each other, no one's there to rescue each other. No one's there to save the game for them. And they suffered for it so much. I mean, they struggled in the first game, barely had a shot on target, pulled a goal back to stay in a tie against all odds. And you're thinking, wow, you're so lucky to still be in this. And then after, what was it, 10 minutes, they're just down and out again. And look, from a neutral perspective, when they get the penalty, you think, great, let's have some drama here. Let's get like a classic comeback going on here. But I think we all knew that that wasn't going to happen.
They had absolutely no control of the game whatsoever. They must have played about 8 short passes all night, and all of them would have been by Tshibola. I thought Pinnock was one of their only decent players on the left. He kept overhitting his crosses. Just like, I just don't understand how you can get away with being a manager and have a team play like that. It's abysmal. It's like Sunday League. That is Sunday League football played by professional footballers.
Do you think it's a collective that takes responsibility, or does Tommy Wright have to take a lot of the responsibility?
It's that, like, that's where they're playing. Like, there's a reason they're finishing so low in the league table. Sure enough, they don't have amazing players, but they're playing absolutely garbage, like dreadful, dreadful football. And weirdly, like, once they scored the goal, they started to almost calm down a bit and had a bit more of it, and they were able to keep it. But every single time they got the ball, they were launching it, and then Dundee players were launching it back. Like, no one deserved to win.
I don't know, man. I think Dundee looked far more in control and were able to control the ball for just, large parts
just
of the
rushing,
game.
Rushing clearances all the time, though. It's not sustainable. I know you get panicked towards the end of it because it's a big, important game. But
I think this is also a wake-up call for clubs around the size of Kilmarnock, because I don't think really anyone was really expecting Kelly to go down at the start of the season. They're one of these clubs that are maybe around the bottom half of the table on an average season, but not quite going straight down. They've really suffered from... So it was when Alex Dyer was in charge, they went on this run of defeats, and they kept sliding after that. And obviously Tommy Wright came in and everyone thought, right, this is it, this is a turnaround. I was included in that. I remember saying in the show, look, he's going to come in, he's going to turn it around, he's got what it takes. I'm surprised he didn't. He's won 5 out of 15 games in charge.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the reliance was put on Kyle Lafferty coming in. I feel like they just looked to him to be the saviour. And for a brief spell, it looked like it was going to be the case, because he's getting the goals and we're thinking, right, he's going to turn us around here. I was quite surprised when looking at the stats, because Tommy Wright's first win came, and it was the 4-1 win against Motherwell at home, and that was only about a month ago. It was a good run of games into his time in charge. And at that point, I think a lot of people saw that as, this is Kelly turning it around now, and Motherwell are slipping down the table. And it's quite remarkable to think in only a few games that this was just before the semi-final break for the Scottish Cup, so it was the start of April. There's not a lot of games between then and now, and it completely changed things around, because that was a game that everyone thought had rescued Kilmarnock. What I feel like now, I know I'm saying it very much from a Motherwell perspective, because I'm in that, I'm living that just now, but when Motherwell beat them 2-0 3 weeks ago, and it was a meaningless, not a meaningless game, you know what I mean? It wasn't a game that Motherwell had to win, because they'd secured their place already in the league. So by that standard, it was, I say in inverted commas, a meaningless game. It wasn't for Kilmarnock though. And they went down 2-0, and I feel like that was a proper nail in the coffin at that point, because that is a game that they should have been right up for and they should have been winning. And it's little results like that you look back to and think, that has properly killed you here.
This could be really bad to go down as well. Have you seen the list of players that are leaving on a end of contract?
Yeah, it's insane.
People who aren't aware, so you're going to lose, well, maybe they'll sign you contracts, but being relegated obviously means you don't have as much money to do what you want. So Tshibola will probably be gone. You get Kabamba, Greg Kilty, Kyle Lafferty, Malumbu, Rogers, Dicker, Burke, Dickamona, Millen, your friend, Pennick, I think George Oakley as well, Broadfoot. The entire squad basically is out of contract, and who's going to want to sign on? There'll be offers for some of those. Some. I mean, none of them deserve to play football ever again after this performance.
This is the thing, right? That you look at some teams that have went down to the Championship from the Premiership. I'm looking at the likes of Partick Thistle, Falkirk. These squads who have inevitably, well, not inevitably, but they have ended up going further down the system in Scottish football. I even look at Brechin, who were in the Championship not too long ago, successive relegations, and are now out of the pyramid system. It's ridiculous. They're now going to be playing in the fifth tier. And it's just like, how does a team like Kilmarnock, who have been in the Premiership since, what, the last 30 years? Psychologically and mentally, for a club to turn it around and go, right, next season we go again. Does Tommy Wright stay? All those players that leave or stay, how do you galvanise them again? It's very difficult to go again and achieve automatic promotion, albeit Hearts have achieved that this season.
We'll give an entirely new team. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, exactly. And maybe that will
benefit
them.
How do you sign
them?
Those players when you don't have... I mean, they clearly got a very small budget in the first place. I wonder if Tommy Wright will stick around even.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. James McPake, let's hail Dundee because they finished second in the Championship. McPake hasn't had it easy and his time in charge there. 36-year-old, he's a young manager. He's got them back to the Premiership. It is his second attempt. He's done a good job. I just wonder how much backing he'll get into the summer to try and help them stay in the Premiership for next season. Yeah, Dundee Derby as well to look forward to as well, Laura.
Yeah, so, I mean, James McPake has been under pressure as well. It's not been plain sailing for him. He, even at the start of this season, fans were calling for him. Saying he wasn't good enough, he couldn't do the job for them. So it's great that they've not only stuck by him, but he's stuck to his guns as well, and he's not changed the way he wants to do things. For somebody as well who's so young, to see that success and to see what it means to him, it's great. I saw him at the end of the game. He was on FaceTime with Robert Snodgrass, and he was showing the phone to the camera. It's great seeing things like that. And yeah, as you're saying, Dundee Derby back in the league. Who could possibly complain about that? It's one of the best derbies in Scotland. And it's we've missed it like these last couple of years. So I'm really excited to see that back again.
I mean, more managerial stuff. Mickey Mellon has agreed, apparently, like according to the BBC, they say that he is set to leave. Although they could just say... is to leave. You don't need to say set. Like, he's ready to go. He's just to leave. This is one of those
weird
things.
He's on his marks.
It's just one of those things that's become a staple of football headlines. Anyway, Mickey Mellon looks like he's away. Even though he lied to your face, Andrew, and said that he wouldn't be going anywhere. And he said in numerous interviews that he's moved his family up to Dundee even. Like, was looking forward to playing at St Andrews loads.
It's his horse I fear for. He admitted to me, you know, he's got a horse. Well, it's not his horse. I think it's his daughters, I can't remember. But yeah, like, they've got everything. What more
does he
want?
What's wrong with
the horse? Yeah.
Why can't, what's wrong with the horse?
Well, he can't ship the horse back down wherever he wants.
But they can travel, it's one of the things they're best at.
What, he's going to run down the road?
I don't know, man.
Like a horse car, what do you call it?
You know how difficult it is to move down to England when you're so used to the Scottish air?
I mean, you're not going to take a horse to London, I know that. But if he moves to like Shrewsbury, wherever the hell
I remember I asked him about the Doncaster job and if there was any, anything to it. And he was like, look, no, not at all. And, until I'm told otherwise, I'll be staying at Dundee United.
He played you, Andrew.
He's played many faces. He is the wise-faced man. Well, anyway, we should also mention, we did say earlier on in the podcast, John, Yogi Hughes, he's not going to be at Ross County for next season. They stay in the Premiership. He said that he decided to explore further football opportunities. Interesting.
This
but...
is a strange one. I mean, surely he's got something lined up. John Hughes spent so long
Dundee
out of the
United.
Game. Well, that was a natural reaction. But he spent so long out of the game. And every time he got a chance to speak to the media... or do press events or punditry, he would complain that he missed football so much, and he'd been constantly doing his research, scouting about, going around the whole of the UK, watching games, so that he was ready to go straight into a job when the time came up. I cannot understand why less than a season after being back in the game and clearly enjoying it and clearly being successful as well, keeping Ross County up in the league, why would he leave just for the sake of leaving? He must have something lined up.
I think Ross County are set to like pretty much battle relegation all over again next season, and it's not a great job, and it'd be really hard to bring in players that keep them in, and it's really hard to attract players there because their budget is so low and all those sorts of things like that. I can understand why, unless you really love Ross County, you'd want to move on. He's got a decent reputation, he can get a job, maybe live somewhere that he wants to live, and somewhere that he can go on an upwards momentum rather than sort of being, below a bit of a ceiling. I don't know.
Maybe a former club of his.
Well, who knows?
Well, I'm sure. Maybe we'll get to talk about that again. We've got teams of the season coming up. That should be interesting / awful. But up next, It's going to be a good one, this. St Johnstone do the double. Fantastic.
Harry, is there any truth in the rumours that you're off to Spain in the summer?
Sorry, me no hablo inglés.
What about one of the Manchester clubs?
Well,
Harry, what about my source who says you're keen to stay at Spurs?
Can we keep the questions sensible, please?
Kane's future at Spurs remains uncertain, but you're guaranteed to get money back as a free bet if one leg of your fourfold acca lets you down. Paddy Power. Max free bet £10, min odds 1 to 5 on each leg. Online exclusive exclude shop bets and enhanced match odds. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Smart Speaker, and now ad-free on The Athletic, this is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
Blood and thunder out there. Here's Wotherspoon. So Gogic's the dummy. In comes the ball! And there is the goal! The man who won the League Cup for St Johnstone lands the first blow of the Scottish Cup final! It is St Johnstone legend Sean Rooney!
It's officially the greatest season in St Johnstone's history. 1-0 winners against Hibs on Saturday. They secured the Scottish Cup to add to the League Cup in their trophy cabinet. And we're joined with, well, the man who must be smiling the most. He wrote a book about St Johnstone's previous Scottish Cup triumph, Our Day in May it was called, and it's Ed Hodge we're speaking to. Ed, is this the happiest you have ever been?
Well, it's now Monday and I haven't stopped smiling, so I think a few pals in the street here are a few Hibs fans, actually. I think they're getting fairly sick of me because I keep bumping into them already. So I had a few beverages Saturday night and had to recover yesterday. it's easily the happiest time of a St Johnstone fan, without a doubt. I thought 2014 was going to be the peak of supporting St Johnstone. I think we would all be happy with that, actually, in 2014. But this has been utterly remarkable.
Well, on Callum Davidson, obviously, who is the man who has orchestrated all this, I'm sure it's past what you possibly expected him to do. But how has he done this?
Well, I did send a tweet, actually, the day that Tommy was sacked and said, whatever Callum is, get him back to Perth. So I'm going to take some credit for that. I think as fans, we all kind of hoped that Callum would come back, given he'd been assistant and he was kind of working his, learning his trade, so to speak, at the assistant roles he was doing and, working at quite a high level in the Championship. Millwall were on quite a good run, actually, when he left. He knew a lot of the players already, so he had that immediate respect. And I think he came in with a style which we were probably not used to under Tommy. Under Tommy, we would invariably take a 1-0 lead and kind of hang on as best we could. And the football was maybe not as attractive as it could be without being too disrespectful, because we were still winning games. But Callum immediately brought a flair to the team. And we just couldn't turn performances into wins. And I was tearing my hair out November, December, but it was just incredible. Some of the you probably remember yourself, I think we won game against Hamilton around about Christmas time. We had like 30 shots and it finished 0-0. I think he's just found a spark. I think a couple of things just bring to mind. I think bringing in Melamed was something a little bit different, gave us a bit of a spark. And obviously Rooney has taken over on the right hand side when we lost McNamara, because McNamara going back to Millwall seemed quite a big blow at the time. But Rooney's obviously just gone from strength to strength and is now obviously a huge cult hero. But I'm not sure anything has totally changed other than the fact they've probably just got a heck of a lot of confidence, really, from the Christmas time and just realised that they can play good football and then get the results.
Does beg the question, how does Callum Davidson keep this squad of players together for next season? Is that even possible?
Well, it inevitably brings challenges when you're a squad like St Johnstone. There's some really talented players in there. I'm astonished at how Jason Kerr isn't in the Scotland setup, for example. I think Xander was unlucky as well. Quite a few of them are under contract, which is good. Melmed's out of contract, but most of them actually are. So it's going to take some decent money to get them away. And obviously we've got the carrot of European football, and hopefully I think we can have a decent run in Europe, even if we lose the Europa League game. We'll drop in at the conference, I think. So
that's right.
So there's a chance for a good run in Europe. So some of them might think, well, you know, maybe stay on for another season. But I guess this big money comes in for Ali McCann, which I think is inevitable. He's easily my favourite player at the club. Just, you know, watching the game on Saturday, every time the ball breaks anywhere around the box or in the middle of midfield, Ali McCann seems to be there. You know, his positional sense is extraordinary. So I'd imagine there'll be a few offers, and maybe one or two do leave. But, you know, Callum's now got a bit of a budget himself, so, you know, he might be able to bring in a couple of players as well. I guess we all hope that Callum stays as well and stays for Europe, because I'd imagine a few clubs might be looking at what he's achieved as well.
Looking forward, Ed, how does St Johnstone top this now? Because, I mean, realistically, how can you better this? Is it a run in Europe?
I'm not sure we need to top it. You know, I've supported them since McDermott was built in 89, and if you told me this was going to happen, I would have basically just laughed. To, you know, to win a cup double is just the fourth team to do it. And the Aberdeen team that did it was full of top names at the time under Sir Alex Ferguson, and then you've got Rangers and Celtic. So I think this is one of the biggest ever achievements in Scottish football history. So to say, how can you top it? I'm not sure they can. I think having a great run in Europe would definitely help, but inevitably, I'm sure Callum says that the main goal next year is probably to stay up. You know, Dundee are back, Hearts are back. It's going to be a fair old scrap next season, actually, to stay in the league, I would think, already. So I think it comes back to the last question. If we can keep the nucleus of the team together, then there's no doubt that they could probably still have another run in the cup. And perhaps, you know, they look higher in the league. You know, can they upset the odds and go and finish third or fourth? You know, we've done that in the past, so why can't we do it again? But to win trophies is huge, is a hugely difficult task. And the fact that they've come through two knockout competitions and lifted them both is utterly extraordinary. And I still, more than 48 hours later, I'm still struggling to comprehend it.
Well, it's official that St Johnstone are the second most successful Scottish team in the last 10 years. So, yeah, absolutely tremendous story, not to mention qualifying for Europe in 6 out of the last 9 years. So let's hope it continues for you, Ed, and maybe there'll be another book coming out.
Well, it is extraordinary, and hopefully we can keep it going. I think, you know, it's something I'd probably like to do, but it's... I'll probably have to have some conversations before I can get to that stage. But yeah, it's just, it's incredible times. And I think the biggest hope that I have is, you know, we tend to get mocked, obviously, for the lack of fans that we have, which sometimes is a little bit harsh, I think. But I generally hope that when fans are back in stadiums that, you know, we get another couple of thousand going to games or more people buying season tickets, because, you know, I was about to say this is one of the best St Johnstone teams ever, but I think this is the greatest St Johnstone team ever, isn't it? So hopefully we can hold on to the players for next season, and fans can actually, you know, see this team. It's extraordinary that Callum Davidson hasn't played in front of a St Johnstone crowd yet.
I mean, some people might forget that St Johnstone were practically 3 minutes away from getting knocked out of the quarter-final stage. They took Rangers to the extra time. I think Tavernier scored with 3 minutes to go, and it was Chris Kane that equalised off the back of that tremendous, wonderful header from Xander Clark to take it to penalties. I mean, that's how close the margins are and how stories can turn to be fantastic ones, Laura.
It's also the greatest cup story ever that deserves to have a trophy at the end of it, to have your goalkeeper and... inverted commas again, but to have your goalkeeper score such a crucial goal in the last minute of the game, and that is how it will always be remembered, despite him not actually putting it in the back of the net himself. It's Hollywood stuff, isn't it, for them to put out Rangers and then win it.
Exactly. It just again highlights the total travesty that fans can't be there to witness these moments. Not only a goalkeeper playing a big part in a massive goal, but two huge trophies. I mean,
it's bad enough they've missed one, but to miss two is the ultimate, not insult, but you know what I mean? It's a total kick in the balls. It must be absolutely brutal for them. And then you can say, oh, we'll have a big party when it's all over and we get together again. It's not the same. Yeah. You cannot tell me it's celebrating 6 months down the line when you've not even watched the game is any different from what it would have been like at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
And JJ, do you think this is one of the, or if not the greatest Scottish football moment winning two cups, the first time since your beloved Aberdeen did in 1990?
Well, as we all know, the best Scottish football win of all was Aberdeen beating Real Madrid 2-1 in the Cup Winners' Cup final in 1983.
In Scotland. In Scotland.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's
why
good.
I like that Sean Rooney, who didn't even get in the team that we're talking to Ed until McNamara got taken back to Millwall, he scored both the winning goals, and they both came in the 32nd minute. Both. Isn't that spooky?
Spooky
this
goals.
He should change his number to 32 now, surely.
That's really good. He
I wish
be,
now yeah. I'd done a little bit more research to see the seconds. How many seconds, how close it was. And I loved, loved his post-match interview when he was just like, yeah, just can't wait to get on the pints.
Yeah, I like that too.
He just you know, another club where, you know, the level that they're all playing at are honest and they all believe, you know, they all seem to just get on. It's a good collective St Johnston seem to have within their dressing room. And then when you see the full-time scenes with Callum Davidson, you know, taps half moment, you know, big belly sliding across Hampden dressing room, champagne soaked, and he bangs his head right off the door. And he even admitted it in an interview Monday morning, I think it was with Sky, that it really hurt him. That's like,
I think that's why he had a sore head the next morning.
Yeah, it was really sore, but he didn't want to admit to his players. Like, I love that. Like, absolutely brilliant.
It'd be funny if he had to do the post-match interviews like with a door on his neck, like he's going to put his head through a cartoon. This is part of him now.
I mean, so it has to be. I mean, the next time St Johnston get to a major final, the stat will come out that they have 100% record in major cup finals. 3 out of 3. Like, that's just class. Absolutely brilliant.
It's like Scotland taking penalties.
Well, don't you be talking about penalties. The last time you did, Motherwell lost them.
I've not jinxed Scotland yet.
Let's talk about Hibs. Another, you know, upsetting moment for Hibs fans in the cups. Especially when you think about Matt Macey's heroics. Double save off the back of a penalty. I mean, that's the kind of moment, JJ, when in a game like that, you want a spark. You want the team to then get back up the pitch and be a little bit more aggressive to try and get the ball across the line.
I felt they were just kind of missing leaders, like real, what does Klopp call them, mentality monsters in that game. A few of them kind of wilted a little bit, and you saw like Doig got beaten a little too easily at the back post by Rooney. Can't really blame him. It's a bit of a mismatch. But I mean, even the way that Wotherspoon, who gets that cross in, shouldn't be able to do it so easily. Alex Goggett's really poor defending towards that. But more the way they kind of lost control of the game. They just didn't quite have it. Things like Martin Boyle go down too easily in the box, trying to win a penalty. Just they weren't quite there. And I think it's just mentality.
Do you think the Callum Booth challenges ahead of that first goal kind of summed St Johnston up compared to Hibs and the fact that he was just diving in, you know, full-blooded, winning everything, and then they go and score the goal?
Not necessarily, sort of.
Like, just summing up the characters, I mean.
There's that to it. But I mean, Hibs are trying to play with a bit more control, I think, of the ball, which John's trying to get it forward a bit more quickly, and then overlap centre-backs and that kind of... There's a few tactical things going on, which... I don't think it matters an awful lot in games like this. Sometimes it is genuinely the cliche of whoever wants it more. And I think you did see that. But that's the kind of thing that I'd imagine Ross would want to improve on next season, because that's what's really letting down, is not getting over the line.
You can be patient in games, but you need your big players to show up. I wonder if... I mean, it wasn't really mind games before the game, because did anyone see Hibs tweeted out their team sheet with only 10 names on it? They didn't even put Martin Boyle on. I mean...
Didn't the BBC also gave St Johnston 2 number 4s as well in their team?
Wow.
Shambles all round. The better.
No matter what, everyone's just going to look back at this as being a great year for St Johnston. And just Scottish football, it's been a good year. It's been a good year for stories. Maybe not for some sides. But anyway, up next, we're going to move on now. We're going to wave goodbye to Brechin and we're going to say Kia ora Kelty.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com /courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Smart Speaker, and now ad-free on The Athletic, this is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
So yes, Kia ora, Kilty. That is a very happy welcoming in Māori, kind of New Zealand hello. And I forced it for alliteration. But it has been an extraordinary weekend at Kilty Hearts, as Lowland League champions beat Brechin in the playoffs to earn promotion to the SPFL for the very first time. And then on Monday it was announced the architect of that triumph, Barry Ferguson, was going to leave his post as manager. What's going on? Ewan Booth Robertson from Lanarkshire Live is our go-to on lower league matters. Howdy, Ewan.
Good evening.
Excellent. I've got a world of hellos today. But sum up what this means for Kilty Hearts, a club that are only 46 years old.
Yeah, I think it was 1975, so your arithmetic seems to be right there. But yes, I mean, it's a remarkable achievement. Okay. And a lot of people will probably say that, you know, they've bought their way to the title, but I don't buy that, because you look at, you know, Germany and England and every major league in the world, the team that has the most money generally wins the league. So yeah, I don't really buy that, and I think it's a fantastic achievement, especially what they had to go through, you know, last year with the dreaded, you know, vote in the playoff, it didn't go ahead. And again, I know they've only played 13 league games this season. Some people might say, well, how can you win a league season on 13 games? And, you know, there's certainly validity to those points, but ultimately they played these two playoff games, which were incredibly tight, considering a lot of people thought that Brechin would just kind of lie down to Kilty, but they'd be so in fear that Kilty would run out comfortable winners. But it didn't prove to be the case, and I might talk about it later, but if it wasn't to be for that red card, it could have been very different. But yeah, remarkable achievement. I mean, a fantastic club. I think, you know, Barry will get a lot of the credit, get Barry and Bob, but behind the scenes, people like Dean McKenzie, Tam Courts, who was a manager for many a year and very successful, who's now at Dundee United. Watch that carefully. So I think they deserve huge credit for getting where they are. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if they can emulate the success of, you know, Edinburgh City and Cove Rangers.
Is it a surprise then that Barry Ferguson has left Kilty?
I'm really torn on this. I think it's actually a good time to leave, because he's kind of achieved what he wanted to. He spent 33 months at Kilty Hearts. He's got them into the SPFL. His stock as a manager is probably much higher now than it was when he took over at Kilty. Right. But at the same time, Alloa, to me, listen, no disrespect to Alloa, you know, fantastic club and great and all that. To me, that doesn't seem like the next logical step, if that is going to be the step, because, you know, League One's going to be incredibly difficult next season. They've just been relegated from the Championship. You've got Queen's Park in there, you've got Cove in there, you've got Airdrie in there, you've got Falkirk, God, Falkirk are in there. And it seems difficult to kind of, well, what do you do with Alloa next season? You know, what's an acceptable target? I just think that's a strange move, if, as rumoured and reported, that is the case.
I mean, it is bye-bye Brechin. That's 67 years they were in the top four divisions of Scottish football. Is it fair to say that a lot of neutrals aren't exactly sad about this, given they were trying to redesign the entire league so they wouldn't be relegated?
See, to be fair, you know, I've criticised Brechin, you know, ample amounts over the last, you know, 18 months, but even I'm a little bit sad that they're gone. You know, they've been around for so long. It's quite an iconic club when you think about it, isn't it? You know, they have the hedge, the famous hedge. They've got a cathedral in some wee small town, Angus. When you got there, you're like, why is this even here? I think they've got great history. You know, Dick Campbell was there for 5 years. Michael O'Neill, who was famously Northern Ireland manager, kind of started his career there. I'm pretty sure Dick Campbell's brother is their leading goal scorer of all time. And I'm a little bit sad, because you look at it now and they're going to go into the Highland League, I believe, and are they ever going to come back?
It's a good question. Nobody has yet.
I can't see them coming back, and I do think it's quite sad when you lose these clubs that have a lot of history and, you know, have a place within a community. I'm a big fan of kind of community and football clubs and, you know, what they can provide each other. And I do kind of worry that this could be the end of Brechin City as a top 42 club in Scotland.
But we thought about that with Berwick Rangers, and you know, I know they're struggling and everything like that, but it's the manner and what this setup is now with the pyramid system. It's a good thing for Scottish football.
Well, yeah, 100%. I love the pyramid system. I think it's important. You've got to kind of reward clubs who are ambitious and have big plans. But at the same time, talk about Berwick Rangers, you know, they're a fantastic local community club. But as each year passes and, you know, the West of Scotland League grows and clubs like Auchinleck Talbot and Pollock and Darvel can, you know, progress through the pyramid, it's incredibly unlikely that they're going to ever come back to the league, which I suppose is quite sad, isn't it? They must have had so many good memories in the league and famous games, and it's now sort of, you know, I'm sounding like Grim Reaper here, but it does sound almost like it's kind of the end of the road for them in terms of being a 42 SPFL club.
So let's talk about elsewhere in the SPFL. Dumbarton have managed to stay in League One, but Jim Duffy has left. He's announced on Monday that his contract has finished, he's gone. I wonder if he'll come back to Scottish football, because I mean, he's so well known in Scottish football, Laura. He had that heart scare as well, didn't he, and a few months ago, I think, but he decided to stay on and finish the job. I just wonder if he'll stay in football. What do you think?
It was another one to add to the list of where's he moving to. Is he part of the reshuffle of managers? I feel like Jim Duffy's just this mainstay in Scottish football. He's been around for decades now, and
he's a great guy.
We're all just, yeah, I think that's the thing. Everyone just really enjoys him being in football as well. They like having him as a manager. They like having him around, even the pundit side of things. He's just very popular, and I think if he was to leave football, I think it would be a sad miss. So I'd like to see him still hang around.
Yeah, Greenock Morton will stay in the Championship next season, where they can look forward to play Kilmarnock and Hamilton. It's going to be really interesting. You know, thinking about the Ayrshire Derby as well in the Championship, Ayr United against Kilmarnock, that's going to be feisty. But up next, we're going to go back to the Premiership and look at some players and see who we think might be very good to be in our little teams. That'll be interesting.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Time to hear from our friends at Paddy Power, courtesy of producer Charlie. Charlie, you must be about to talk about the Euros. There's no more football left other than Euros.
Yes, Paddy Power are yet to provide odds on Andrew Slaven keeping another clean sheet in goal for JJ's Football Writers 11, so I guess we'll have to talk about Euro 2020 in 2021. Golden boot market, always popular at a major tournament. You've got your Kanes, your Mbappes, your Ronaldos, your usual suspects. If you want to bet on a Scottish player being top scorer at the tournament, Paddy Power offers odds of 200-1 on Ryan Christie being that man. If you bet big on Christie, if it happens or if it doesn't happen, one way or another, someone's going to be crying. Scotland are the same odds to win the tournament, so let's scale this back a bit. Steve Clarke's side are even to progress from the group stage and 17-2 to beat England.
Oh,
I'll take it.
Interesting. You can find out these odds and more at paddypower.com or the Paddy Power app. Prices are accurate at the time of recording. It's over 18s only. Season supply. And when the fun stops, stop it. Time now for us to pick our Premiership teams of the season. We've done this before, and it's quite hard. So the rules of this are: you're only allowed to pick one representative from all 12 clubs in the Premiership. So we're picking 11 players and a manager. So, for example, if you pick Steven Gerrard as your manager, you can't have any Rangers players. Really tough, to be honest. But we're letting everyone play fast and loose with their formations. We don't know what each other have picked, but I'm told we're agreed on three players. That's it. Who wants to start off? Should we start with goalkeepers or should we start with managers?
We've all definitely got the same goalkeeper.
Yeah, we've got the same goalkeeper.
Have we?
American TV presenter Ryan Seacrest.
Was my was difficult for me because I really, really wanted to put Liam Kelly in my team. But when you have to try, it's trial and error for the other positions. And I just didn't feel as though there was another player from Dundee United who deserved to be in my outfield players. So, yeah, I went with Benjamin Segrist.
Yeah, he is our goalkeeper of this season.
Yeah, 12 clean sheets. The most saves of any keeper in the Premiership this season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
very good. Deserves to go in.
He is. So it does get harder because now we can't. So now we can't pick any other Dundee United players. Oh, woe is me. Defenders. Shall I start off with defenders?
Well,
central defenders.
Tell me what your formation is first, and then tell me what your defence is. It's pretty easy.
Okay. Well, I'll start off. I've went for a 4-3-3. And my first defender I'm going to go central defenders here. I'm going big. I'm going with Hakim Adofin from Hamilton. I think he is actually a player who should probably be staying in the Premiership, if not going down to England. Number one in terms of interceptions for the Premiership. I think he's very good in the air. He's an all-round very good defensive player, and he scored some really important goals for Hamilton this season, although not important enough because they got relegated. So although it might seem a little bit odd to pick a defender from Hamilton, I think he's been one of the best players this season, and I think he could play at a much higher level. I've went for another defender who almost got relegated. Alex Iacoviti of Ross County. Again, another defender who I think sometimes people focus on Cole Donaldson at Ross County, but I think Iacoviti is probably a better player. He's younger. I think he will become a better player. But another one who's in the top interception ranks. Someone who can read a game quite well and scores important goals. Left back, Nicky Devlin. Nicky Devlin of Livingston. I think he's just one of these players. I think he's staying on for Livingston next season. There's a raft of players leaving Livingston, but he is one that's remaining. Just so pacey and has a really good delivery into the box. I really like him as a player, and he's just been a stalwart for Livingston. He's good defensive one-on-ones, and I just think he provides so much threat for Livingston going forward and in defence.
A lot of analysis going on here. I like it.
Oh, yeah. You're
a little different to your normal pattern. I'm enjoying this a lot.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Do I not normally do this? James Tavernier is going to be my right back of the season. Top in assists, scored a barrel load of goals, an insane run of games he went on a scoring run. It was ridiculous. Just an all-round captain, a leader for Rangers. An all-round captain. He is top in all captain stats, whatever they might be.
An all-round captain. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's what it would be. And he's like, you know how sometimes you look at Football Manager and it has like leadership things,
yes,
kind of things like good on the wing or likes to dribble a lot. All-round captain would be his little star
all
underneath his name.
Captain.
Yeah, absolute legend for Rangers now as well. And I just think he adds goals from defence for my team. So
I love
who
it.
Wants to try and beat it. That defence?
I want to hear Laura's.
Okay.
Formation first.
So my formation is a 4-2-3-1. So in front of Segrist, I have got a back four of Sean Rooney of St Johnstone.
Excellent. Pint merchant.
And goal-scoring extraordinaire when a trophy is up for grabs. Who doesn't want your right back providing your goals in the big games?
Only in the 32nd minute, though.
I will highlight the slight controversy that he is a wing-back, but this is allowed.
Oh, like yeah, him. My formation is very loose. Very loose. So, yeah, Sean Rooney is getting my right-back position. I have gone for a defensive pairing of Connor Goldson, the only player in the league to have played every single game of the campaign, every single minute of the campaign as well. He has just been outstanding for Rangers. And to be fair, I think you could have chosen many Rangers players for this, on top of the manager as well. And he was one of the last players I put into my team because it was really, what position did I have left to fill? I'll go for the Rangers player because there was one for every position. So Connor Goldson, and my other central defender is John Guthrie of Livingston. Another one who I just feel has been just quite consistent this season, quite reliable. And yeah, it doesn't have to be this glitzy star player. He's just somebody, you know, you can rely on. And my left back, I think, is quite an obvious one. I'm going to go with Josh Doig of Hibernian, 19 years old, bags and bags and bags of talent, many years left in his contract as well, so Hibs are going to get a lot of joy out of him as well. And it's just so ironic that Scotland have yet another good left-back coming through the ranks.
And worryingly for Livingston, I think that's quite a really good back four, actually, Laura. But I see John Guthrie's handed in a transfer request, that old request.
He's on the transfer list now that doesn't exist. That'll be good.
Yeah. He'll be a big miss for Livingston. So, yeah, nice back four, Laura. What a back four. JJ.
Well, check this out. Think of all times that me and Laura disagree with everything each other says. I've got a 5-3-2, and it's probably a 5. And apart from TV presenter Ryan Seacrest in goals, Sean Rooney at right wing back, because the same things Laura just said. Connor Goldson, because most of the same things that Laura just said. John Guthrie, because I spoke to him in real life, and I like that.
I've just woke up my baby with that laugh. Thank you very much.
I went other centre backs. So I've got Goldson, Guthrie, and I went for Paul McGinn. I think he's been Hibs's one of Hibs's best player all season. And then I've cheated and put Chris Burke at left wing back.
Interesting.
He's a winger. He's old, and he scored 9 goals and 4 assists. And when I say old, I mean he's like a year and a half older than me. But I think he's old. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Thank God you're not like doing the Kilmarnock Player of the Year Awards as the host. He's young, he's old. He's scored 9 goals.
He's relegated. Hey, it's Chris Burke. Okay, next. Go to Slaven, your midfield.
I'll start us off for the midfield. And I will talk about that old gold scorer, Chris Burke, who I've put on the right side of my midfield. My midfield three, that is. I can't really add to what you said, JJ. He's old, he's a winger, and he's scored 9 goals. Lewis Ferguson is going to be my midfield general. 10 goals for him this season. And just a very good player, and someone who might not be at Aberdeen next season, because I think he can play and push himself at a higher level. I wonder where he goes, but I think he's had another good, solid season for Aberdeen. We know of his qualities, we know how good he is. He's picked up Young Player of the Year awards. He's someone who, in this team, if I'm looking at the team on paper, like I am right this very second, I need some steel in there. And he loves a tackle. He's up there in the yellow card charts. One red card this season. He's someone who's definitely a winner, I think, with his mentality. I think he's someone who wants other players to be up to his standards, and he's so young to have that.
But is he an all-round captain?
He's not an all-round captain. That's James Tavernier, mate. Who I've already got in my squad. But he has that level, so that's why I think my team's pretty good.
That Lewis Ferguson you're talking about, right? This is...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's been really poor this season.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I think he's not anywhere near as good as he's supposed to have been. Like, I love Lewis Ferguson. I think he's a great player and will be, but I think he's really struggled, particularly in the last few months, towards the end of McInnes's tenure.
The start of the season, it seemed to be a really good partnership with him and Rory McCrory.
McCrory. But both of those easily got into a team, yeah. And I think they really dropped off about November time and didn't really come back.
Yeah, perhaps, but I still think if Aberdeen have had a poor season, I actually think he's probably been one of the better performers. Take away the amount of clean sheets that Aberdeen have had. But I agree to disagree. And for St Mirren, I've got a St Mirren player in my midfield, Jamie McGrath. 10 goals this season, maybe 11, I think, actually. But a lot of those are penalties. And I think in all teams, you should have an absolute penalty merchant. Jamie McGrath is that, but he's also quite a skillful midfielder. He's very good at passing the ball. He's got a very good eye for the ball. He can read the game. And in a midfield three, I think he can also back up someone like Lewis Ferguson to do the dirty work. So that is my midfield three. Laura?
I've gone for a 2 with a 3 in front. So I'll tell you both lots just now. In my 2... slightly playing kind of not so much out of position, but I'm pushing him into a position that you might not be completely comfortable with. Ross Callaghan of Hamilton Accies is playing in my 2. I feel like he's got 9 goals this season, and he is a complete box to box midfielder, always a joy to have. And he's kind of been a kind of shining light in a Hamilton side that haven't really had many lights to boast about. And alongside him, I've put Alan Campbell of Motherwell. I just feel like he is an all-round player who is constantly improving game on game, and he's one of these players that you don't often notice the hard work that he does. I think every team needs to have one of these players that does all the hard work on and off the ball, just has that general fighter, that kind of terrier player about themselves. They just want to bully other players off the ball and win it back for their team. So I think he's perfect for that position. And in front of those two, my three are, and again, very loose positioning here, on the right side, and these players are going to be shifted a lot during the game depending on how the opposition are playing, because this is not strict to their positions. I've put Ryan Hedges of Aberdeen, and on the other side I've put Chris Burke of Kilmarnock. I do like the fact that we've all got Chris Burke playing in completely different positions. I mean, you look through stats. When you look through the stats of his season, he has played in so many different positions, so I think we're going to get away with this. And through the middle of the three, I've put Celtic's David Turnbull, which I think is an obvious hands-down choice for Celtic's player this year.
Yeah. This is weird again because we've got all the same players. I think Jamie McGrath is the St Mirren player you'd have to put in. I totally agree. He just received his first call-up for Ireland. Did you know that as well? Ross Callaghan, I've got in my midfield too. I think he's been Hamilton's best player this season by miles. I think he'll probably play for... I think someone will pick him up higher up in the Premiership. I can see him going up to a different club. I think he was just so impressed this season, really came on. David Turnbull's got to play. I agree, he's Celtic's best player. Instantly stepped up to it as soon as he got into the team. Played him as 10, got in the Scotland squad to get a great season. See, all my players I've selected have been ones who've had a good season, not just because they're good players.
Slaving. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who's your forwards?
Oh, you're going straight to my forwards. It's funny when you say about Jamie McGrath being like the best player for St Mirren. I know he scored a lot of goals, but there's so many good players that I think could have been included for St Mirren. Like Richard Tate could have been one. In defence.
Penalties, though, it's a thing, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You want to add goals to your games and stuff like that. But like, yeah. Conor McCarthy as well has been...
I like Adolphin at Hamilton. That's a good bet, rather than Callaghan. That would be the only one I would... Yeah.
Well, so far we're all in agreement that we've, you know, Segrist, Burke and McGrath are in our sides. So the teams I have left for my front three, I've got Hibs, Celtic and Motherwell. And from Hibs, I've picked Kevin Nisbet for obvious reasons. But it's not just his goals, second top goal scorer this season. He just does so much for the team. I think you noticed a lot when he wasn't in the side, kind of near the end of January through to the end of February. There was about five or six games where Hibs just didn't look the same team, and when he came back, he such an impact he brought back to, because the thing is, he doesn't just do the scoring all the goals, it's the dirty work as well, the amount of times you see him tracking back and winning the ball. And I think that's something that he's learned from playing in the lower levels. He's had to work hard to get to this. And also, you know, personal tragedy he's had to work through this season too. So he makes my front three. Tony Watt from Motherwell is my other striker / workhorse at the front. I noticed Laura... Well, the thing is, I think Motherwell were better. Were a better team when Tony Watt was in the side. And I did notice, Laura, that the fans picked him as their player of the year.
He is the golden boy to the fans. He can, it's like he can do no wrong.
What? I just think that Motherwell are a better team with him in the side. I know Devante Cole could have been the potential one you would choose, but he's only had a good end to the campaign. He's not had a great all-round season. Whereas Tony Watt, injuries, all that jazz, it's not been easy, but I think he's a better choice for Motherwell in this side, because you have to just pick someone from a team, is hard. And my main centre forward is Odson Edouard, because you can't argue with his goals. And a lot of people will
he's been at it all season. Way
exactly.
From him.
You have picked people, Edouard over Turnbull.
Yeah, 100%. What? 100%. Because you can't argue with how many goals.
You're just picking the best players. You're not even the best season.
No chance. Well, he's the top goal scorer in the whole season.
Turnbull won every Player of the Year award for Celtic. Come on.
Edward should score the most goals. He's the best player by a mile in the whole league.
Yeah, of course. And he's done that. People will say that he's done it half-heartedly. I tend to disagree. If he's doing it half-heartedly, he still makes the team of the season.
Well, exactly. He scored 50 if he tried for most of the season. He was good at that last part of it. He's a brilliant player. Like, he can play top level, like absolute
of course.
Champions League player. Yeah. Okay, I like it. Who's your manager then?
Are you going for? You've not even done your front three yet either.
I want to know who your manager is though. I want to know.
No, hold on. I'm going to tell you who my striker is because my striker is a complete cop out. I struggled for strikers, so I went for Jamie McGrath and just pushed him right up front. My striker option was a problem for me. I could have put him up front, I could have put Turnbull up front, but obviously none of them are natural.
Wait, that's your one
scorers.
Striker?
Yeah.
You put Jamie McGrath up front?
I'm putting a 4-2-3-1 and I don't care. You laugh at me all you want, but he scored enough goals this season. I know with Turnbull supporting him, he's going to get even more goals. Because you know what? You might not have a natural striker, but if you've got two goal creators, then one of them's going to have to finish it because they're going to get creating anyway. Like, I'm really guilty here of playing the Craig Levein 4-6-0, but I didn't want to be this person.
Yeah, like Mikel Arteta.
Look, I had to get him in the team, and it was the position that was causing me problems, shoehorning him in.
You could play Turnbull as a false nine, I bet you could do that quite well.
No, I'd rather have McGrath in front of Turnbull, because Turnbull will create the goals for him. Look, you could have me up front in front of Turnbull, and I would score the goals because Turnbull would create them for me.
You do have Sean Rooney getting the box from right back as well.
Like, everyone's going to chip in here. I've got a lot of goal scorers in my team. Just you wait to see how many Alan Campbell is going to score from my side.
You need some of those players to be getting your penalties for Jamie McGrath to score. All right then, JJ, bring us back into the real world.
Following Laura's logic that there are no rules, Ian Jess is up front for my team. I've got a front two, obviously, because of my information. I think Ryan Hedges has been Aberdeen's best player this season. I don't think there's been many standouts. I think the defenders have struggled. Joe Lewis, who's normally really good, has been really out of form. I think McCrory and Ferguson fell off ages ago, like November, and didn't really come back from it. And McGinn didn't really get the team. I mean,
you're playing Hedges up front?
Yeah.
I have Hedges in my team, so what you're saying is I should just swap Hedges and McGrath around and you would accept my team.
But you can play Hedges as part of a two, I think, not as a one.
Put him as a two with McGrath then.
He's basically a second striker, I think. He's probably going to be possessed. It's like a 10, basically.
He'd play just, yeah.
I have a lot of 10s in my team, so somebody's going to have to go in front.
I'm basically playing like Man City's 5-1-2-2 formation. It's a bit of
all
a weird
the midfielders
one.
Are strikers.
Yeah, all the midfielders are going to be in the box. There's no defensive cover. It makes no sense. And I've got Devante Cole up front. I think he's been Motherwell's best forward, and I've really enjoyed watching him score the goals this season.
But only the latter stages of the season. He didn't really
do much.
Yeah, but
that's only the bit I remember, so that's fine.
Oh, see, that's why you pick on the likes of Lewis Ferguson, because he hasn't, you know, had a good start to the season and he didn't have a great end.
If he'd ended it, you've got to time it. Edward had a really good end of the season, but yeah, I remember that because I think he'd do so much more. I think Ferguson struggled as a part of the team rather than just him. I think there's more to it.
Oh, well, there you go. So, well, I'll start off the managers then. I don't think there can be any discussion here. Callum Davidson, St Johnston. That was what I was left with at the end, and just so happened. The thing is, I had Jason Kerr in my team in defence. Because, I genuinely think he could be playing at Celtic or Rangers. I also think he could be playing Premiership football down in England in a few years. I think he has definitely got everything, and not to mention he's been captain in St Johnstone since he's been 22. He's 24 now.
So your manager is Jason Kerr, just to confirm.
I felt bad. I wanted him in. I mean, could have had McCart in there, could have had Ali McCann in there. I might have picked Sean Rooney, but if anyone's going to put all those players and make them into such an amazing collective, Callum Davidson's one of them. He's the manager that's going to make everything tick.
I mean, I can't dispute it. It's made me feel angry about picking Sean Rooney. Fine. Laura,
so who's your manager?
With this really modern 3-false-9 formation.
A team full of number 10s.
A real tactician. Someone with real, a real dexterous knowledge of football, ins and outs of tactics, a coaching mastermind. And you have picked, I know who she's picked. I already
and that
know.
Is why I have gone for John Hughes.
Yogi!
He'll manage my team of number 10s.
Hey, Laura, guess who my manager is?
Johnny is!
Yogi!
How have we managed to get a whole season, JJ, disagreeing, and we basically picked entirely the same team?
I don't know. I couldn't think of any Ross County players that were any good.
That's exactly what my thinking was as well. Yeah. I like John Hughes, and I didn't like enough other players, so it was an easy choice.
And if I went back, I had Jason Kerr on my team. I was like, no, I have to have Callum Davison as my manager. So I put Jakubiti in, because I just had to have a defender, and everyone else was picked.
So obviously the actual team of the year would be very different, and mostly Rangers players, I think, safe to say. Probably a couple of St Johnstons, and
Yeah, Rumble. I think that's fair. You know, I don't think you would have picked many Celtic players in there. It would have been Rangers and St Johnston. But I think that's all right.
Says the man who didn't put Turnbull in. You're so harsh.
Turnbull, to be fair, has been Celtic's best player this season. I won't argue that. But in this little game that we're playing, I'm picking
you needed a striker.
A team of players that I think is a good team, and it's managed by Callum Davidson, so it's going to win two cups, two more than you, chumps.
Yeah, I'm losing 7-0 most games, I think.
So. You guys are going to be relegation battlers, but you will survive.
Because you're going to be manager and assistant manager, since we've got the same team.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think that's where we have to end it then. It's another end to a season. Thank you so much for listening. A year that will be remembered forever by fans of Rangers, St Johnstone and Scotland, because it's the Euros, and I cannot wait for it. I'm absolutely buzzing for it. So thanks, JJ. Thanks, Laura. And to producer Charlie for getting this show on the road and making us sound relatively knowledgeable. But honestly, it's been fantastic. Thanks to the Little Kicks for their awesome theme tune. And again, thanks so much for listening. Have a great summer, and let's wish Scotland to the Euros. Get in there.
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything Totally at thetotallyfootballshow.com and by following at The Totally Show on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of the Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places, or listen ad-free on the Athletic app. The Totally Scottish Football Show is a Money Knees Media production and sponsored by Paddy Power.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.